Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love board games. I love board games, I love card games, I love yard games, I just love games. Any opportunity to get together with a group of people and play games is just a great time, in my opinion. This past January, we as a Bethel staff gathered at my husband and my home, and we hosted the annual Bethel staff Epiphany party. We gifted each other with different things, and as has become the tradition, some gifts are left behind for the host. One of those gifts was the game Mad Gab. Now, I had forgotten about this game. I hadn't played it for a long time, but I was really excited that it happened to be left at our house. The point of the game is that in a group setting, you have cards that have various words that are listed. And individually, they're words that make sense, but strung together, they seem to be nonsensical. But with the right inflection, or if you phrase them differently, suddenly it's like all of a sudden an aha moment happens, and you understand what the phrase is, and that's how you continue to win points as a team. Let's give it a try so you kind of know what I'm talking about. So you see this annual investments, annual investments becomes annual investments. The tagline of the game is it's not what you say, it's what you hear. So again, words strung together, thumb, other, oven, fin, chin, words. But if you phrase them right, becomes some other of invention. Get it? All right, see, we could have a good time together. Now you try it. How about this one? It's a churchy thing, so that may help you. Oh, I just heard it. Woo! Good job, Kim. The answer is, I know my Redeemer lives. Good work. Our gospel reading for today includes three distinct stories. They could each stand alone, but each are told with purpose in succession. The first story is that of Jesus telling his disciples that when they enter into Jerusalem, things are going to happen. It's the third time he has told them about the events they should anticipate, events that include that he will be mocked, insulted, spat upon. He will be flogged, and the Son of Man will be killed, and then in 3 days rise again. For the disciples, it must have sounded like a game of mad gab. Words that on their own made sense, but strung together and relating to Jesus and their journey to Jerusalem, it just didn't make sense. In fact, the gospel says they didn't understand. But before we look into the disciples getting hearing aids or wonder about their intellect, the reading also says that this truth was hidden from them because they could not grasp it. So why would Jesus tell them the specific details of what was to happen as he was to enter Jerusalem, if the disciples wouldn't be able to understand or grasp it anyway? Why repeat this again and again? Well, perhaps the two stories that follow help us to understand. The two stories that follow are, of course, about a blind man and a short man. These are celebrities in the Sunday school world. For a Sunday school teacher to be able to sing the Zacchaeus song is a lesson all wrapped up in that beautiful little song, a story told from beginning to end and then committed to memory. If there had been a playlist opportunity back in the day, I bet every Sunday school teacher and student would have had this on their playlist. In fact, you do, because you joined right in. You know that story. And the blind man, why, that also is a song, and one that you would know if you happened to go to a church camp, a Lutheran church camp in particular. Perhaps you remember singing, blind man sits by the road and he cries, blind man sits by the road and he cries, and it goes on and on. another crowd pleaser, one that puts that song in your head and you remember about the blind man. A man who is short on height and a man who is failing in sight. Both of them, no sight, no height, say no problem. For the blind man, it is simply to call out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." And when the crowd tries to shush him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord," he cries all the louder. He wants Jesus' attention, and he's not afraid to ask for what he needs, his sight restored. And for Zacchaeus, short? Well, I'll find a tree, and I'll climb up there, and I'll see what all of this is about. For I've heard about this Jesus coming this way. Here is the story of a tax collector and a sinner. Tax collectors and sinners will become the charge against Jesus, will it not? Throughout the gospel story, we hear about how the authorities are troubled by the fact that Jesus spends time with, goes to the home of a sinner and a tax collector to boot. Tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, those who are the ones to be most suspicious of based on how they handle your money, probably pocketing a little bit for themselves. And the blind man? What a chief example of a sinner for the people of Jesus' time. The understanding, of course, was that the blind man must have done something to cause his blindness, or maybe his parents. Surely an example of a sinful person. But at the heart of this gospel reading, the inclusion of all of these three stories is examples of those who are on the inside and those who are on the outside, and what interesting vantage points they have to the Son of God. When I lived out in the Seattle area, I had the joy of hosting many people who had come to visit. I'd usually take a day off and we'd spend a whole day in the city of Seattle exploring, and usually one of their requests was that we go to the top of the Space Needle. Well, I said, you could spend the money for that, but let me tell you about a much better vantage point to the cityscape. So we would go up to Cary Park, and this was the view. In my opinion, it was spectacular, far exceeding that of the Space Needle. There you could see the city and the water and then beautiful Mount Rainier in all its glory, and it didn't cost a dime. A week ago, Tara O'Brien and myself had the opportunity to take part in some continuing education in Chicago. Tara O'Brien is our business manager here, and she has family in Chicago, and she and I had time on a Wednesday evening to just walk around the city. We somehow made our way eventually to the John Hancock building, and she said, "Oh, do I ever have a great tip for us?" So we went up to the 95th floor, and she said, "The best view is from the 95th floor." And she was right. It was this view. This is my picture taken from, wait for it, the women's restroom. Unexpected, but beautiful, and a great addition to our day. Sometimes the most surprising places offer us the most spectacular views, and sometimes the most surprising people offer the most sincere perspective. The gospel reading concludes with these words, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is repeated for good reason throughout the Gospel of Luke, these images of being lost and found. Sometimes as people of faith, we can be ones who, though rooted in Scripture, though regular in our worship attendance, sometimes just have trouble understanding. Sometimes the world can feel like mad gab, filled with messages and words that are hard to make sense of, and we turn to our faith to try to understand more fully. And sometimes, even as people of faith, we do not understand, and we are filled with questions. And I wonder in those moments if for a time perhaps those meanings are hidden from us until another time when we can fully grasp and understand, when we can meet Jesus face to face, ask those questions, and understand, see more clearly the fullness of what Christ has come to do for us and for our world. We are on the journey to Jerusalem. We are on the road. A week from today, we will be waving our palm branches. We will be like the disciples who are filled with anticipation, entering into Jerusalem, thinking this is the moment. This is when everyone will know this is the King. And then the story will unfold before us of mocking and insults, of being spat upon, of being flogged, and being killed, but in 3 days to rise again. And as we journey on that road, today gives us good courage to know that when we cry out, Lord, have mercy on us, Jesus hears our cries. When we feel that we are filled with sin, when we have lost our way, Jesus offers us grace upon grace, continuing to transform our hearts once again so that the mad gab of the world becomes clear that God is with us always. And we discover that we are not hidden from God, but we are found. Amen.